Amen. Amen. And so I'm just going to go ahead and say this because I don't want anybody to think that the message, I was thinking about this as I was praying, the message and this announcement is not connected. Okay, we'll just say that. The message and this announcement is not connected. It just happened to fall. We actually talked about what we're going to do. And so it's going to feel connected, but I can assure you maybe it's just the Lord. And so, all right. So we're going to talk about generosity this morning. Praise the Lord. All right. So I want to talk about generosity. And first of all, we need to know that that God is a generous God. And so when we look at scripture, when we look at creation, we see that in the beginning when God created everything, like the scripture says that the earth was empty and formless, right? It was that darkness covered the water. And then God said, let there be light, right? And so it all of a sudden begins this creation process. And then he talks about the evening and the night. And then he says this, when he talks about the land, he said, then God, in verse 11 of chapter 1 of Genesis, he says, then God said, let the earth produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and fruit trees on the earth, bearing fruit with seed according to their kind. And it was so. And the earth produced vegetation, seed-bearing plants according to its kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So when God decided to create and make things, right, and started making trees and a form of life, right, and vegetation and all that kind of stuff, he didn't just say, right, he didn't just say, hey, here's this one tree, and everybody's just got to like that one tree, right? He could have, right? He could have, because it functions, it creates air, and it could make some food and those kind of things. And he could have just said, there's that one tree and it all looks the same. And there you go. Bland. Blah. And then not only that, he could have said, everything's going to be flat and there's just going to be one tree, this tree and everywhere you go. If you go down to Honduras, it's going to be the same tree. If you go over to Africa, it's going to be the same tree. If you go to North Georgia, it's the same. No, that's not what he did. He created it with variety and beauty, right? Like, and the things that grow, like, I'm starting to sound like a hobbit here now all of a sudden, but like the love of things that grow, right? So, but if you think about it, God didn't do that. He made a variety of stuff. I have a cool app on my phone that I can just show a picture. How many of y'all have the plant? Who have the plant app on your phone that you can just go, man, you are my people? So you have the app, right? I guess you can go and you can show, and you show what kind of plant that is. Actually, we got to go to South Africa. It was Southern Africa. We got to go to Malawi, and it actually has a download where you can download all the plants in Malawi. Oh, there's a bird app too. That's another one. I got that. I got both of them. I got both of those anyway, and maybe a dog app to tell what kind of dog it is. I'm a nerd. I'm such a nerd. Some of you have all the games. I have all the nerd stuff on my phone. But this idea that there's multiple amounts of plants and beauty, right? And not flat land, it's beautiful mountains and just the beauty of creation. He like tells you something about the nature of our God. That he's not just bland, right? He's beautifully creative. He's beautifully an abundant God of different types of animals and trees. And speaking of animals, then he goes on and he says, and then God said, let the water swarm with living creatures. A little side note, I think he must have forgotten about Lake Altoona. If you've ever tried to fish in Lake Altoona, it's not really swarming with living. It's man-made. I still catch fish out there, just saying. All right. But the water swarm with living creatures. Let the birds fly above the earth across the expanse. And he created the sea creatures according to its kind. And all the animals God created, beautiful. Like if you've, I remember so many times we go to the ocean and you hear that term, the sea is teeming with fish. And boy, it doesn't take long to be around the ocean and realize that, man, there's a lot more, it's easier to saltwater fish than it is freshwater fish. I'll say that much right now. Because you won't be all, if you put a shrimp, You put a hook on a thing in some places, you'll just catch fish, right? So it's amazing. But all kinds of fish, not just a certain kind of fish, all types of fish and all types of living creatures that are beautiful and amazing and creative. That God's, like, I want you to see that our God is full of abundance. He did not have to make it this way, but he did. He did make it this way. And then, like, the taste, and I'll break it down to the taste of food. It'll make you hungry this morning. The taste of food, like all the amazing, God could have made everything taste the same, but he didn't. He made everything with a variety of flavors. Just make sure. And then culturally, like different beautiful food from different cultures and different food from, when we go to Honduras, my goodness, like you eat a mango and you go, oh, this is what a mango is supposed to, like when you were, literally when you pulled off the tree, not when it's set in the, and traveled all the way, right? So you pick it not ripe and then you ship it, right? And it gets ripe kind of on the way. I guess that's how they do it. I don't know, but it's different. It's different. Just go to Malawi or Malawi for that matter. Different, and a different whole type of food in Malawi. Where are my Malawi people? Where are my Malawi people? What did we eat? We ate, oh no, I'm not going to say that. Well, nope. We ate some different things while we were in Malawi. Yeah. It's interesting. Praise the Lord. We'll have nobody on the next Malawi trip, but it's good. It was good. But all the different flavors, right? And think about this. Like, he did it not just for, how about this? He did it not for just people who follow him. He did it for people that he's just so generous that he just gave, like, the beauty of the sky is there for everyone to enjoy, whether you follow him or whether you rebel against him. He's just a giver. Amen. That's amazing, isn't it? And then you take that down to, we did rebel against God. We did push God away. We did try to do things our own way. And yet still, God still sends his son to die for us, to redeem us, to make us right before him. The abundance of God's love. We talked about it, that scripture in Ephesians, that you may know the height and depth, the width, all of the amazingness of God's love for humanity. It's abundance. God is an abundant God. He is not a withholder. He's a giver. He's an abundant giver. Life to the full. And then still, whenever you mess up, like this week, I mean, I'm sure like most of y'all lived perfect this week. You did it all right, 100%, right? No, we mess up. And like still, God's like, I receive, you know, forgiveness is available. Restoration is available. It's amazing. Psalms chapter 36 and verse 7, the psalmist says this. He said, how precious your faithful love is, God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They are filled from the abundance of your house. You let them drink from your refreshing streams. So when we see God, it's a God of abundance, more than enough. It's not like God is not stingy. God is an abundant God, right? He made all things generously. So if he made, here's where this is sermon talk. This is where you turn, right? If he made all things generously, then out of his generosity towards us, we can be generous to others. The generosity that God gives us the ability and empowers us to be generous to other people, to others. Because if God was scared, if we have a mindset of scarcity, we're not going to give. But we don't. God has given us this idea of abundance. Abundance. And because of that, we're able to live and be generous. Actually, if we live with a scarcity mindset, we'll be hoarders and not givers. I just got to have enough just for me. I just got to have for me. Part of that is a scarcity mindset. that you don't believe that God is generous towards you. 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 17, it says, instruct those who are rich in this present age not to be arrogant or to set their hopes on uncertainty of wealth, but on God who richly provides us with all things to enjoy. Isn't that amazing? Just stop right there. You know, he provides all this stuff for you to enjoy. We get that, right? I want to change your mindset about this. This is something, what's the guy's name that wrote? What's the guy's name? Brennan Manning. Brennan Manning wrote, he talks about this idea that God has, I forgot what I was going to, how I was going to say that. But he asked, like, the stuff that God has given us to enjoy, what if one of the questions, Brennan Manning asked this question, what if one of the questions that God asks you when you get to heaven is he goes, hey, what do you think of those strawberries that I made? Those were pretty good, right? Not that. Did you behave all the way today? You want to come here? Like, what are all the good things that you? That's really good. I'm just going to repeat everything you're saying. Like, what? Not what are all the good things that you do? But what if his attitude? I mean, those are going to be rewarded and all the things, right? But what if part of his attitude was like, what do you think of sunsets? Those were. I was feeling nifty that day when I created sunset. Like, what if he asked you, though, have you ever thought about God in those terms? That God gives you these things to you for you to enjoy. Right? When I'm on the lake fishing, I am well aware that God made all this for me. That because he knew that I would like it. Isn't that amazing? It's an abundance of God's generosity. Don't be so religious. Don't be so stiff, right? Like, realize that this stuff is made for you to enjoy. Relationships, friendships are made for you to enjoy. And he says this in verse 18. It says, instruct them to do what is good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and willing to share, storing up treasures for themselves as good foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of what is truly life. You're like, so the idea is like, are you like, oh, well, that's written to rich people. Tunk, let me turn that off. That's not me. I'm not rich. Right? I'm not rich. Are you? I mean, I know that there's different levels of, but let me just tell you, like, and get your mind off of the United States. But you look at your way you are in this country. If you live in this country, you're doing better than most of the world. Most of the world. We live in an abundance in this country. And yeah, we may struggle, but man, let me tell you something. Just going to other countries and being around severe poverty, if you woke up and you didn't worry about what you were going to eat today, you're blessed. You're blessed. There are people that when we go to other countries, you guys know it as well as I do. Like, there are people that, like, if BCV, one of the people that we support, if we're not supporting them, those children don't eat. Those are facts, right? So if you woke up in this nation, you're blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed. So you can be generous so how are you generous? You're generous for what you have. What you have gives you the ability to be generous. Amen? Proverbs chapter 3. So what do you do with your generosity? Proverbs chapter 3 says, when it is in your power, don't withhold good to the one whom it belongs. If it's in your power, what is in your power? Whatever you have is in your power to be a giver. It's your power that you have to be a giver, to be generous. So what do you have? Well, we're going to talk about money. We'll get there. But I want you, like, generosity is more than just money. Generosity is more than just has to do with finances. God has a lot to say about finances, but when at the core of generosity, it's not about just finances. It's this attitude of giving. It's this attitude of what I have, I can provide for other people. So how does that look? What does that look? Well, first of all, what about your talents? What has God given you as a talent? My wife has a business, and every once in a while, because of her business, because of she does graphic design and she does a lot of other things. Graphic design is one of them. But many times she has done stuff just out of the generosity of her own heart. Many times she just gives out of her own business and out of her own talents, right? She's given, let me just go ahead and say, she's given to this church in her talents a ton. A ton. Right? I know you're going to be mad at me after the service. That's okay. God asked you to forgive. So it's good. But it's the attitude of generosity. I'm just going to give out of a generous heart in your talent. So what are you talented in? We all have talents. We all have giftings. We all have ways that we can serve. Amen? If your gift, like Scripture says, if you're gifting, if you're a teacher, then teach. And by the way, you don't need a platform to do it. You can teach. You can have the attitude of a teacher wherever you go. Right? I remember part of my story is having a feeling I had a call of being a pastor and being working full time and not in ministry at all and working at a dealership. And God said, so you're only a pastor when you're in church? You can't pastor people out in at that dealership? See, that's a mindset shift. That your gifting is for you to be a giver wherever you go. Your talents, what you have inside is a gift. These guys up here, like they give their time to serve God with their talents, with their singing. Amen? In every aspect. You know, the guys and ladies in the booth, right? They're back there serving, right? You know, back there going, man, I'm just trying to follow where he's going. They're giving their time, you know, when they could be sitting out and just sitting and enjoying. No, they're back there working, right? Your talents, what do you have to give? What's another way you can give? Another way you can give is your words. You ever thought about your words? Being generous with your words? Yeah, exactly. And your encouragement. Yeah, I don't know about you. You talk about scarcity and positive, encouraging words. We live in the cancel culture. We live in the, let me tell you why you're wrong. Let me tell you why you're wrong. Let me tell you why you're wrong. Let me tell you why you're a terrible person. Let me tell you why you're terrible. Like, it is an epidemic of cursing with our mouths. And by the way, cursing is more than just those words that we say. You can curse other people with your words, with how you speak to them. Or you can build people up. You can make somebody's day by an encouraging word. So you can use your mouth generously to give generously compliments and encouragements. Hopefully you're the person that when you're in line at your, well, if you're not doing the self-checkout, because we just forget the cashiers anymore. But if you're that person that goes to the cashier, like you're the person that brings encouragement. Our grocer over at Lidl's knows us. You know why? Friendly, encouraging, right? You can be an encourager. I heard somebody say, you're either an encourager or a discourager. And you do it with your mouth. Jesus was the greatest encourager ever. And we follow his ways. Amen? What about your time? Oh, it's starting to get, here's where it's getting, yeah, Pastor, I can say nice things. Yep. All right, now you're messing with me because my time is my time. Right? Your time. When you give time for things outside of yourself, generosity in and of itself has to do with this idea of giving something to somebody else, right? And not focusing on just you. Amen? So, like giving your time for different, many of it went on mission trips. Many of you serve here at Hope Church. Many of you, they're back there in the back serving today while we're in this nice and we're listening to, hopefully, an encouraging message. Amen? They're serving for our children and the different things that people do. People get here early on a Sunday morning to serve for their time. They'll be back tonight with our youth to serve. And not just serving in the church. When you serve other people, you give your time for other people. Amen? Your time. What do you have? What do you have? If you have it in your power to give it, then give it. So what are some examples? Let's talk about some examples of what this looks like. Before we get into money, before we get into all that, let's talk about, like, what are some examples? Like, this church, we built this church on relationships. It is the corest of core values that we have in our church. We believe it's our, you know, like, you go, everybody has their secret sauce, right? Amen? You got your secret sauce. You go to a restaurant, man, they got their secret sauce. They're not telling you the rest of it. They're not telling you. It's their secret sauce. When you go there, you like that place because of that, right? Hope Church has a secret sauce. You know what our secret sauce is? Friendships, relationships. We push that idea. Actually, we say that discipleship, we said it, somebody already said it before. Discipleship, Jessica said it before. Discipleship happens best in relationships. 100% true. Do you understand, like, most of your growing in Christ doesn't come, as much as I would love it if it comes from a pulpit. Most of our growth comes from our interactions with other people and how we work together with other people. Amen? We get some principles maybe from a pulpit. We get some principles from your favorite podcast or whatever. But in actually working it out with other humans is where we grow. It's how we grow. And we believe that, I believe such in me. Somebody's like, what do you think about where the church is in America? Do you know what I think where we are? I think we're primed for a great awakening in our country. Primed. Do you know why? Because we know, as people of God, that sin and the results of sin causes brokenness. And you can only be broken for so long. Places of healing for people who are broken. And I believe that we in this church are priming ourselves for when broken people come in, because we're not pastor-driven, we're relationship-driven within the body of Christ. We grow and become the healing that other people need, because when they come in, we accept people right where they're at. We love people right where they're at. We show up, we extend grace. Amen? And through relationships, we build up one another. We encourage one another. Because that's what we're called to do as people of God. So what can you do? How do you spend, like, when you come to church, my old pastor used to say like this. He said, do you walk in your building, your church, walk into church and go, here I am? Or do you walk into church and go, there you are? Who am I here to see today? I walked in and nobody talked to me this morning. Okay, I get it. That's not a good thing. That's not what we're trying to encourage. But who did you reach out to? Where were you generous with your own, with your life and your voice and your encouragement to other people? Like it wouldn't be amazing? We had a church full of people. And I believe we do. Full of people who are others-centered. When people come in these doors, you realize that if this is your first time here, just listen, right? This is our heart. You realize most people don't come to church because they're bored. They didn't know what else to do on a Sunday. Most people come to church because, you know how I know? Because the lake's full when I drive by on Sunday mornings, right? People aren't coming to church because they're bored. They're looking for God. People are looking for, when they come to church, they're looking for God. And if we ignore the people that are looking for God, what are we? What are we? So we can be generous with our kind. Just a kind word. Who are you? Hey, I've never met you before. You're kind of, I haven't talked to you before. Hey, just an encouraging word. Amen? That's our secret sauce. And yeah, I want to grow, but I don't want to grow too much. Because I love what we got. Amen? Somebody asked me one time, don't you want a church of 2,000? I said, maybe a whole bunch of churches of 150. Maybe. Amen. You know what? You know what? Like, who are the poor? What's the poor in our county? You want me to tell you what one of the main poor things in our county? Relationships. People are lonely. We have an epidemic in our county of loneliness. We have access to complete on your social media, and people are lonely. Poor in relationships is where we find ourselves in this day and age. It's our secret sauce. Primed. Primed. All right, just hold on. What about your money? Here we go. What about your money? I don't know when the last time I really talked about money. So if you're new here, y'all, if everybody else, you can tell. I'm not that guy. I understand. Listen, let me just say it. Break the ice. I understand that money in church is a deal. And many of you have been messed up thinking, or somebody's taken advantage of you. They promised the world to you. If you just gave this, right? You get that hundredfold. It's worked for me. Well, because you asked for all this money. No wonder you're rich. So, erase that. It's facts. It's facts. So I get it. I get it. But the problem is, scriptures won't let me get away from it. I can't read the Bible and it not talk about money. And talk about finances. It's in the Word. So let's get into it and find a biblical idea of what this is all about. Amen? So evidently, money is important to Jesus. Jesus says, where your treasure is, talking about your money and what you have, there is your heart also. He says these harsh things. You don't want to know what you love? You know what I love? Cabela's, evidently. You know how I know? I look at my account. Cabela's. And evidently, also, like, repairs on my house. Evidently, that's a new thing. And repairs on my car. Evidently, I love to pour money into my cars. But Jesus said, where your treasure is, there is your heart. So, of the tithe. Let's just break all the ice. Get it? There's a lot of discussion about the tithe. And I will tell you what I think about the tithe. How about that? What I see in the tithe is that from the very beginning with Cain and Abel, there was a tithe, the idea of this first fruits of what you have, you give it to God. Matter of fact, a murder happened over that whole ordeal, right? But it's right at the beginning, that the very beginning of the first fruits of what you have, you give to God. And you give it the best to God. That's the idea. And we see that all through. And then we get to this wild exchange between this guy, this priest named Melchizedek and Abraham, where Melchizedek gives a tenth, here you go, a tenth of everything he has, right? Oh, yeah, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, Melchizedek gives, no, Abraham gives a tenth of everything he has, which was a lot, by the way, if you do your homework, which is a lot. Abraham gives a tenth to the priest, a tenth of everything he had, right? And so you go on, and this tenth is repeated time and time again about your giving in different ways and different things. Sometimes it's a tenth of everything you have. Sometimes it's a tenth of your first, of your increase. The question, if you're into all this stuff, here comes the question. Is the tithe still valid in the New Testament? There's the question. Is the tithe still valid in the New Testament? Let's dive into that just a little bit. Here's an interesting scripture where Jesus is talking in Matthew 23. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You pay a tenth of mint and dill and cumin, and yet you neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. These things you should have done without neglecting the other." He says, hey, you guys, man, you're giving. Matter of fact, you're giving to the little bit. You tithe on the dill, like the little stuff. You tithe on everything. He said, but you forgot about all these hugely important things of justice, mercy, right? You've forgotten all these things and faithfulness, but you don't, man, you tithe. You know what Jesus says? Do both. He didn't say just do the justice, mercy, and faithfulness. He says do both. He says do both. So then you get into the writings of Paul, and then you get into the writings of the apostles in the New Testament. And it's not quite, honestly, if I'm a good Bible teacher, it's not quite clear. It's not quite clear. So it's my conviction that the law of the New Testament is this: generosity. The law of the New Testament is generosity. Generosity. Now, it's also my conviction that my wife and I, we've done ever since we were married, I did before we were married, is to give a tenth. And it's my personal conviction that the tenth goes to the place where you're getting fed, and that's your local church. And your generosity starts from after your tenth. That's been my experience, and it's been the way I have done my life. It seems to be, from my perspective, the tenth is a principle of giving throughout Scripture. And generosity is just your expression of your giving in every part of your life, whether it's money, whether it's your time, whether it's your... So again, the tenth represents financial giving of 10% of your income. Amen? It seems self-serving. It feels self-serving. All of the uncomfortable things. But I can't get away from the Scriptures. Amen? If I'm going to be an accurate Bible teacher. But we've done it. Our lives, my wife and I, we've done it. I believe that 10% is a good place to start. Amen. Thank you. Me too. Amen. But I also believe in this other principle, that you can't outgive God. That God will be nobody's debtor. Now, this is where you go, oh, here goes that prosperity thing. All right, so true confession. I started writing this message on generosity, and I know all the things. I know how uncomfortable we talk about money. I understand all those things. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to teach this very altruistically. Meaning, like, I'm going to teach it like you just give, right, because you're good and godly. And then as I kept reading, I started reading all these scriptures about how God's going to bless you back. Listen to these scriptures. Proverbs 11, 24. I'm going to read a lot of scriptures. One person gives freely, yet gains more. Another withholds what is right, only to become poor. A generous person will be enriched, and the one who gives a drink of water will receive water. Psalms 41, 1 through 3. Happy is the one who is considerate of the poor. The Lord will save him on the day of adversity. The Lord will keep him and preserve him. This is somebody who considers the poor. He will be blessed in the land, and you will not give him over to the desires of his enemy. The Lord will sustain him on the sick bed. I'm reading scripture. You will heal him on the bed where he lays. Malachi, the famous tithe scripture. Chapter 3, verse 10, bring the full tenth into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this way. Right. What? See, says the Lord of the Lord of the armies, see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing without measure. I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that you will not, so it will not ruin the produce of your land, and the vine of the field that will not fail to produce fruit, says the Lord. Then all the nations will consider you fortunate, and you will be a delight in the land, says the Lord of the armies. For some people who tithe, for the tithe. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. The point is this: a person who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. A person who sows generously will reap generously. Proverbs chapter 19, 17. Kindness to the poor is a loan to the Lord, and he will give a reward to the lender. Matthew chapter 10, verse 24. And whoever gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, all those people that are working back there in the kids' class, one who is, it gives a cup, you better give a cup of water every time you serve. Amen. Give a cup of water to the little ones because he is a disciple. I tell you, he will never lose his reward. Luke chapter 14 and verse 12. He's also said to the one who had invited him, when you give a lunch or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors, because they might invite you back. You would be repaid. On the contrary, when you host a banquet, invite those who are poor, maimed, lame, and blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. You see, you can't get away from this idea. If you give generously, you will reap generously. And not just finances, in every aspect of your life. The generous soul will be made, Scripture says fat, but it means rich and abundance. Amen? The generous soul. You can't outgive God. And as much as we want to say, well, it's altruistic and we should just give, because God says, no, you give. I'm going to give back to you. There's going to be blessings when you give and be generous. Amen? You cannot, and it's our experience. My wife can tell you. We've never been super rich, but we've had everything. We've gone on crazy vacations that we could never, how in the world did we able to afford these things? But God is gracious. He's good. And the moments are richer. Your life is richer. Don't die. Don't become the get off my lawn old man like when you get older. That's my land. Don't get off my yard. What's that? That's Max. My dog's becoming a grumpy old dog. Don't be like that. Be generous with what you have. Somebody asked you, Jesus says, if somebody asked you to go a mile, go two. Be generous with how you live, with what you give, with your money, with your finances. Be a giver. God is not stingy. He is not withholding. And God is not full of lack. God has he owns it all. And he made it beautiful. And I want you to think, when you feel like you're in lack, I want you to look at the abundance of creation. Say, my God didn't skimp on me. How in the world can I skimp on his kingdom and his things? If God loves the poor, so do I. If God loves the lonely, so do I. He's generous. God is not withholding from you. It's amazing. And like I said, I hear testimony after testimony after testimony of people who step into this generous mode. I've seen people get houses. I've seen people get blessed. I've seen people, I don't want to you give and there's a blessing and all that gets kind of weird and kind of, I don't know, it seems ungodly. But the truth is, God does it. He blesses you back. He's a giver. Amen. Actually, I believe, it's my personal conviction as well, that God, if he can trust me with the little, he'll give me more to be a giver. Because all I am is a conduit of his goodness. And joy, oh, there's so much. Joy. You know, the joy of when you sow into other people's lives, is to watch their life be blessed. To watch somebody's life be blessed. The joy of being a pastor is the conversations that I have with the people here. I'm so grateful. Like somebody told me last Sunday after church, and they were just going on and on about our church and going on and on. And like, their people are so friendly and they're so welcoming. I just love coming to church, and I'm like, who says that anymore? I love coming to church. Like, they go, and she was so grateful, gracious. She was, the pastor even knows my name. Like it's amazing. Like, I went to this other church, pastor knows like 7 people in the 7,000 people congregation, which is fine. Go for it. Do it, big churches. This is what I love. Amen. But to watch people grow in their walk with God because you sacrificed your, it's great. It's good. But here's where we mess it up in American church. Is we say, go get them, pastor. It's your job. Go get them. All of them. It's also my conviction that's why pastors burn out. Because they're doing a job they're not called to do. It is my job, actually, according to Scripture, and every ministry job, is to train to people to do the work of the ministry. It's the people doing the work of the ministry. Making disciples and being disciple makers. That's not just my, that's all of our jobs. To grow people. I heard this guy say, and I'll stop with this, because this is our job as believers, to be generous. In the turn of the century, you know how many charismatics there were? Pentecostals there were in the year 1900, no, not this turn of the century. Sorry, I forgot where we were. 1900. In 1900, you know how Pentecostals, charismatics there were? Zero. Zero. Like there were no groups of Pentecostals. There were no groups. Like in the United, there was none. But you know what happened? You know the fastest group of believers that are growing across this world are charismatics and Pentecostals. Do you know why? Do you know why I believe? Because charismatics and Pentecostals have discovered part of the truth, that it's not the pastor, that God has gifted everybody in the church to do the work of the ministry. And I believe that because of that, the church has, the Pentecostals, among other things, the Pentecostals has exploded because everybody can do ministry. I don't care who you are, that you're all filled with the Holy Spirit, even women. What's a nonsense? Sorry. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, but evidently you can't do that in church. What in the world? Like, what? Anyway, but all of us are ministers. All of us have the gift of the Holy Spirit inside of us. All of you are rich in this present day. You may not feel like it, but you are. You are. You have abilities on the inside of you. You have talents. You have words of generosity. You have time. You're like, I don't have time. Do you not have time? It's just what you're spending your time on. If you're generous with your time, if you're generous with your money, it's a principle. Generosity is multifaceted. Generosity is a way of life. Because God's generous. And He's called us to be generous. Amen? Let's all stand up together. There's a story of a miser that sold everything he had to buy a lump of gold. And he took that gold and he put it on a stand in his house, and he would just look at it and stare at it. There's my gold. And then while he was away, someone came into his house and stole that gold. And one person told him, well, you know what you should do? You should go buy a rock and paint it gold and put it up on your house, in your stand in your house. because it's doing the same thing sitting on the stand that the lump of gold was doing. What has God put in your hand? And are you just staring at all the good things that God's done for you? Or do you want to take some of that gold down, chip some of it off, be generous to other people? God has given you abundance. Close your eyes. Just you and Him. Let me ask you a question. And this is not between, this is not hands raised, right? This is you and Him. Generosity is a principle of the New Testament believer. It's something we're called into. And I think our world could use a little bit of seeing the church be generous and loving. So what is it that you're staring at that God's asking you to be generous with it? You say, man, 10% is a lot. It is until you get used to it. But I hear you. So maybe that's a goal. Maybe that's a goal. God, help me get to 10%. Maybe God will deal with you and say, you know what? There's more in you. God's asking you, challenging you to step up in this arena of generosity. In every area. Maybe you've had pastors in the past that have said, this is what you need to do with it. This is what you need. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit deal with you on those things. But allow the Holy Spirit to deal with you on those things. Ask this question right where you're at. Just ask. You don't have to say it out loud. Under your own voice. Holy Spirit, what do I do with what I have heard? What do I do with what I have heard? And listen. And listen, maybe it's your time, your talents, your giftings, your words, or your money. Lord, what is it? Father, help us not be a forgetful hearer this morning. Help us, God, to be a doer of what you're asking us to do. God, it's going to take your grace, it's going to take your help, and it's going to take you reminding us. But God, we ask, God, it's our intentions, God, that we're not hoarders, God. We're generous. We're givers. You've blessed us so that we can be a blessing. And God, let my life be a testimony of your generosity. There's things even in my own life that God's dealing with me even right now in this area. So God, help us. Help us. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Isn't God good? Hasn't God been generous to you? He's poured out his love for you, created a beautiful congregation for you to be a part of. Part of like a great church where people love each other and care about each other. Amen. I do want to remind you, if you haven't signed up for the new members class, I would love, there's new people that I haven't had a chance to sit down and talk with, and I would love it. If you know me, I love doing that kind of stuff. So please sign up if you're new here. Doesn't mean you're gonna have to sign a membership form. You're not gonna have to, you know, prick your finger and like do a blood oath or anything. None of that. Like, it's just, I know, I get out there. Some of the things that go in my mind, like, it's amazing. But no, all joking aside, we want to just present the vision for the church and let you make the decision of what you want to do with that. Amen. I love you guys so much. I love this church. This is my favorite church. I told somebody the other day, even if I wasn't pastor, I'd come to this church for sure. But I love you guys. God bless you guys. Have an amazing, ask God for opportunities to be generous this week. Amen. God bless you guys. Have an amazing week. Amen.